Ooh, it's thundery out.
It's thundery and the air conditioner's on. So there's a lot of New York City
sound
noise.
Quality. Sorry, everyone. Oh, rude.
That wasn't me. That was the thunder.
Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we're here today to discuss The Post-it Always Sticks Twice.
Which is a play on...
The Postman Always Rings Twice.
Thanks, but hold on.
Okay.
Well, two butthole dons. I was under the impression that it was butthole don, like D-O-N, like a man. Oh, butthole don. But Mike has always thought it was butthole dawn, like Delta Dawn, which we've sung Delta Dawn, but I never thought that he... So Mike and I in our brains have very different ideas of what this character looks
picturing
like.
Picturing butthole dawn. I in a very, very informal survey, most people seem to have been... under the impression that the same as you.
Yeah, that it was Don. But I think that either if it's Butthole Don or Butthole Don, I think that they hang out at the same bar. You know, they both
probably
like to do like karaoke and darts and like pull tabs.
I mean, they're both known for their buttholes.
Well, I don't know if they're known for their buttholes, if they smell like a butthole.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of options here.
Quite the mystery.
Yeah, like, why do you call someone Butthole Don? Like, is it because, you know, one time he made a funny joke about a butthole? You never know. I worked with a guy for a long time that they called Toaster. I had no idea why we called him Toaster until I learned that one time he, like, put his hand in the toaster on accident.
Interesting.
So that's why. But it could have been a million other reasons. Anyway, so Butthole Don... Louise reached out to me on Instagram to say that Little Lord Brady is probably in response to the children's character Little Lord Fauntleroy.
I have heard of that.
Yes, and he is a very dapper child.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was it. Someone else reached out and said that maybe it was because, you know, he's like, gets everything.
Well, that's
like
what
royalty.
I originally thought it might be, yeah. Just because, you know, but... The Fauntleroy thing does make sense.
Right. So that's all of the butthole dons I have.
Well, I did get a message from my friend Kat. I think I mentioned her before. She kind of knows restaurants better than I do. And she was talking about that sort of dungeon-looking restaurant.
Okay, yeah.
And she was saying that she thought it was maybe a place that used to exist called Below Mercer.
Okay.
Now, the weird thing is I tried to search Below Mercer and, like, there are no images of it. But just the Mercer kitchen itself does look kind of similar. So I'm going to guess that probably is correct. If you look up the Mercer kitchen, it has a similar look with like the brick and all of that. And then actually when I looked at some more stuff, I see a place called the Sub Mercer, which does look very similar. So I'm guessing that's what it is. See?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's the Sub Mercer then, which is a clever name. So The Post-it Always Sticks Twice originally aired August 3rd, 2003. Directed by Alan Taylor and written by Liz Tichillo. Now, we mentioned her before because she is a co-writer of the book.
He's just not that into
yeah.
you.
So I think this is her first
episode.
Yeah, like her first solo writing credit. She's been credited on the writing staff before, but I think this is her first official episode. And we have our DVD recap. Carrie and the girls are meeting for their usual breakfast when two bombshells are dropped. The good news is that Charlotte and Harry are engaged, but the bad news is that Berger dumped Carrie via a Post-it note earlier that morning. Miranda is also in a funk until discovering that she is now able to fit into her skinny jeans for the first time since 1985. Smith's career is rapidly heating up, adding to Samantha's anxiety. They never quite stick the landing with those, I feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's just like... And these are not just some random person writing them. These are, when Mike says DVD description, it's because Mike Jensen still uses DVDs.
Yeah, and I still watch it on the DVD, and like
right,
that's
so
the description they give me.
Right.
Also, if you have never watched, I mean, this is too late now, but they're really spoilery. Like, it's good that you're not watching them on the DVD.
But we've talked about this before. I feel like if you own the box set of Sex and the City
yeah,
DVDs,
you've probably seen them already.
It's because you like them. You're not just thinking, I'm going to watch this for the first time.
I don't know. So the funny thing about this opening is that I started typing the opening line of this before the episode even began, because I'm so familiar with
loser.
It. Of like,
New York City is a great place to be engaged.
And I wrote, Charlotte got a ring, so he must have.
Yeah, he probably had one at home. He said he'd already bought it.
Right, but I thought he maybe had returned it.
No, I think he was still holding out hope.
Miss, oh, I'm sorry, did you want this cab?
Charlotte gives up her cab.
Yeah, now did she give it up or did that woman have it first?
I don't know.
Because the woman says, excuse me, ma'am, like as if it was her cab.
And then, yeah.
But Charlotte just puts up no fight.
Yeah, she's like, oh, never, go ahead. Yeah, and then it's juxtaposed with,
and it's an even better place to be enraged.
Which, the line happens that Mike has said to me plenty of times.
You.
Oh, you're so busy.
You're so busy.
You're so busy.
I love it.
Now, when this happens to me, I like to say, like, oh, well, she's going somewhere important. You know, like, you think this isn't going to happen, but it does.
It is bizarre how often people don't want to get out of your way when you're walking down the sidewalk. And
yeah.
I am that person that will usually, like, do my best to move out of the way. But it does feel like sometimes they want to run into you.
Yeah, but sometimes people are just rude, too. The one I hate the most is when you're going up or down the subway stairs and you're all on one side because there's another group of people going down or up, and someone decides they're more important and just runs up, and then kind of everyone has to figure it out.
You know, I have a theory that the reason why this happens so much in New York is because nobody drives.
No, that's what I mean. Exactly. Because it's the same as when everyone's waiting and that a-hole, like, drives up the side of the road to try to cut in front of everyone. It's the same thing. It's just, and that's also why when people come to New York, they can sometimes say that, oh, New Yorkers are kind of rude, like, we were trying to take a picture of this or that. Imagine on your rush hour commute to work, someone just, like, stopping in the middle of the road and wanting to take a picture. You know, I'm sure you would, and you're running late, and you're
right.
You know, so I think New Yorkers are very courteous, but it's also, this is our main mode of transportation.
Yeah, and but what I mean by it is that people don't notice state of the right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think they're just selfish. People, because everyone else is staying to the right.
Right.
So they can't just be like, no, they're doing it just because they think they are more important.
So Carrie arrives at brunch and has news, but yeah. So does Charlotte.
Charlotte. And she got engaged. And her ring was based off the one Richard Burton gave Elizabeth Taylor.
But I hope it's not as expensive.
How much was that one? In 1965. Four.
Yes.
Or is it the second one?
I don't know, but the one that they're referring to was $18.9 million.
Wow, and that was in 1964?
Yeah.
Or 1975?
Maybe, one of those two. Mike, either way, it is way too expensive.
Richard Burton was husband number 5?
I think it was 4 and 5, or was it 5 and 6?
5 and 6.
5 and 6, okay.
Of Elizabeth Taylor. So, you know, he wasn't the last one, Mary, so be careful.
Anyways, it's based on it. Hopefully, it's not quite as expensive.
Yeah, and Samantha burns her and says it's even more fabulous than your first one.
I don't think she means it that way, but yeah.
Well, Charlotte's going to take it. Samantha's probably just like, get as many jewels as you can.
And then Carrie shares her news.
That she got broken up with through a Post-it.
And I love Samantha's reaction. She's just like,
I'm sorry I can't. Don't hate me. The motherfucker's concise.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. I also like that Carrie has brought it with her. I mean, I would be the type of person that would have been really hurt by this, but also would have been, like, grateful for the new material.
I would have worn it, like, on my shirt, I feel like. Like, I would have, like, attached it to myself and told everybody I saw that day.
I like that Miranda says she once got broken up with through a doorman.
I'm sorry, Miss Hobbs. Jonathan won't be coming down. Ever.
And Samantha's response is just,
I miss having a doorman.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And Carrie's just not going to respond. She, you know, feels like the relationship was just a waste of time. And Charlotte does the whole everything happens for a reason.
Right. But before that, they talk about, what is she going to do? Leave a voicemail that just says, hi, it's me. You're a dick. Which Mike might start getting randomly. But only when I know he can't answer his phone. Yes, everything happens for a reason, even if you don't know it yet. Because if Charlotte had never gotten married to Trey, she wouldn't have ever had to divorce Trey. And she never would have met her divorce lawyer, so she would have never met Harry.
That's such bullshit.
I'm much more Carrie's way of thinking.
Right, paper covers rock.
Yeah, and Carrie's sort of walking Samantha to her hair appointment.
Samantha's dressed like a Lisa Frank cowboy.
I don't even know what that means.
Lisa Frank? Lisa Frank is those, like 1990s, 80s, really neon-colored animals and things that used to be on binders and trapper keepers and folders.
Okay, I recognize that. Yeah. I am older than you.
You are, and that is like right up my alley.
Yeah.
Not currently, but I'm just saying, like,
you're wearing it right now.
No, just that's my age group.
And she thinks that Samantha may have had it right, that, like, don't take it too seriously.
Yeah, and what are Carrie's saddle shorts? They're like shorts, but the pockets are hanging down lower than the shorts. They're very interesting.
Huh.
You know what? I'm gonna spend as much time mourning this relationship as he spent ending it. Okay, I'm over it.
And then, yeah, Samantha, she wants to go out and do something fabulous and be fabulous and have a fabulous time. And, you know, Samantha says that she's going to take her to bed.
I'm not that off, man.
No, bad. It's a new club opening tonight.
So she opens up her planner, which I was thinking must hurt her back to carry that thing around.
Listen to me being all hurt. Look how many men have broken up with you and you're fine.
And then we know people say everything happens for a reason. And this is, we're getting to the question here.
Which is, do we search for lessons to lessen the pain? Yes and no. I mean, I think that... For me, I try to learn something from every experience, because then what's the point of having them, you know? And it's not necessarily searching for a lesson, but it's just, how could I have done better? Or what could I have done differently? Or what did I learn from this to be a better person? And I think you can do that with every interaction you have throughout the day if you want to keep growing.
Yeah, but I think that part of her point is, do we try to find reason to make ourselves feel better?
And yeah, I do and that's think also people what your do that. Friends are for. I mean, if you told me that someone dumped you with a post-it note, I wouldn't be like, that sucks. I would. But I wouldn't not try to make you feel better. And I think a smart friend will try to make you feel better with some solution as opposed to just, you know.
But I guess what I'm saying is, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I do too.
That we do kind of.
But it doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
Right.
It's not like we're looking for an excuse, but a lesson is, you know.
So Samantha is dressing a man for a change.
To go on MTV for TRL, yeah, ASAP, DG, YSL, ASL.
TRL was a huge deal.
I remember watching it every day after school. I remember Hanson had this song that they would play on TRL, and I was not a Hanson fan. I was not into boy bands. That wasn't my thing. But they had this song called Weird.
I don't remember.
So hard, standing in the rain. And they would play it on TRL, and I just thought it was a great song. And I taped it.
Yeah, it was a, I don't know what to compare it to, because I don't think anything like it exists exactly today, but it was
a
very big deal for a while. Yeah, he wants to wear his own stuff.
He just wants to wear a tank top and jeans, not into labels. I'm surprised at how quickly Samantha was just like, okay.
I think, first of all, he looks good in what he's wearing.
Right.
And she's kind of like, you know, do you. Like, you look good. You're going to be fine. And
how'd I get hooked up with such an amazing girlfriend?
And that was a label Samantha wasn't comfortable wearing.
You know, she just tells him to have fun and maybe not refer to anyone being his girlfriend.
Right. And she gives him specific instructions.
She does. And like, this is not new.
No, something like,
you should say you're still looking and haven't found anyone special yet.
So she gives him the line that he will later use.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also insists that he wears some Dior sunglasses.
Right.
Because how will the kids know to look up to if you don't have something they can't afford? Which is true, but also stupid. So Charlotte is going through her closet.
It looks like she has a lot of really nice pajama sets in there. Like, the first few things she flips through just look like really nice silk pajamas.
And she's just sort of showing her ring and comparing it to
and
all
how
her
everything
things.
Goes
right.
With it.
And then she comes across her old wedding dress.
Mm.
Which, yeah, I don't know what you do with an old wedding dress.
Well, she was so quick to... I mean, you could sell it. Now it would be really easy to sell it.
Right.
She was so quick to get rid of the ring. I mean, what you do when you're usually still married to the person is you have it preserved. Like, they preserve them in a box. And
yeah, because I don't have anything in my life. Like, I'm never going to have a wedding dress.
Don't say that.
It's just a weird thing to me that there's this, like, really expensive piece of clothing that you're going to wear one time and then put in your closet forever. Just seems really odd to me. I know that that's not odd, but it just is a weird tradition or weird, I don't know.
I mean, it seems practice. Weird to me, too. I don't think I would spend that much money on a wedding dress. But
so Miranda's not sure what to wear because she isn't feeling so hot.
And her closet is full of very sensible clothes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Carrie is prepared to play the post-it card.
And why is Carrie has her towel on over her bra?
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, so you know, I get having the towel on talking to your friend on the phone, but you've gotten out of the shower, taken the towel off, put your bra and underwear on, and I'm surprised Carrie, of all people, was like, I need to be modest in my home. Let me put the towel back on.
This can't be the day that I was broken up with by a Post-it. This has to be the day that something else happened.
Like, once again, Mike and I would make that a holiday in our lives.
Yes, I'd celebrate it every year.
Yeah.
And speaking of no excuses, there they were. Her skinny jeans.
They fit pretty easily.
Yeah, they actually look a little big.
Yeah.
They actually are not that flattering. I mean, we'll get to that they're from 1985, but they're also not from 1980. Like, that cut is not 1985. Yeah, and Fatty's over there.
I like that Fatty's there.
Yeah, but he's just like, F you, like, fat shaming me.
Yeah, when she joins the girls, she says they haven't fit, since 1985.
And they're too low-rise for 1985.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. Also, yeah, no, that doesn't make, there's no way that this makes any sense.
I could see now you putting on a pair of jeans from 1985 and it looking cool, because that's where we're at in fashion. But in 2003?
Yes.
You would not want to go out with your girls in a pair of jeans from 1985.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's just like a fashion point.
But I know.
Also, Cynthia Nixon looks great. She has
a wonderful
figure.
Her hair looks great. Like everything.
She is not, in this instance, like, thinner than she was in the first season of the show. But it's fine. It's a storyline. The jeans fit. She's excited. She asks if she can wear them to the wedding, and Charlotte admits that she's feeling a little sheepish about her wedding.
I already did the showing of the ring. I already did the big wedding. You were there. It was lovely.
Yeah, she doesn't want to disappoint them, but she's decided not to have bridesmaids.
Does anyone want to be a bridesmaid?
I think you want to be there for your friends,
yes,
of course, and you want to support them, and you want to be in the wedding. And I've been in a lot of weddings where it's, you know, been most, actually all weddings that I've been in, it hasn't been a challenge to be a bridesmaid.
Okay.
But I've heard, and it's actually been a very enjoyable experience, but I've heard about from other people, just, you know, you're dealing with the bride and what the bride wants, and, you know, you're just dealing, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, that's your job.
Right.
It's a lot of money. It's a lot of, I don't know. I think it's easier to just be a guest for some people.
So then we go to bed, and I just wrote, this is stupid. But it is based in reality.
There was a club called Bed.
Yeah, there was. It started in Miami. It was actually like B-E-D or whatever. And then it became a thing in New York after this. This didn't exist in New York when they were filming it. So the one in Miami opened in 1999. And the article that I have is from September 2004. And opening later this month was going to be Duvet. Bed, New York, opened in October. So it was if this was 2000, yeah, it was like a year later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was reading. So, interesting, when I was in New York, I had a friend who was like a brand ambassador or worked at a club. I don't remember what happened, but we were only here for a couple months, and he was like, hey, I can get you guys on the list for this really cool club. And, you know, a bunch of a theater kids were like, okay. He's like, it's called Duvet.
Uh-huh, okay.
So we didn't know what to expect. I am not a club person by any means. I don't have clothes that are clubby. I remember wearing, like, probably a footless tight and a heel and, like, a Forever 21 dress. And probably thought I looked really good, but just looked like an idiot with my friends. And we went to Duvet. And I remember we walked in there and we got one round of drinks. It was so expensive. We just, like, sat on the beds, but we were a little apprehensive because we weren't sure what to do.
Yeah, I just, the idea of, like, being in a bed in a club. And I guess I was that guy.
Like, it was, I mean, maybe this night was different because they were having an event or something. It wasn't a sexy thing. Like, everyone was kind of just sitting on the edge of them because I think we were all like, how do you clean these?
Right, that's what I mean. Like, I guess it also, I was the guy that when I would go to, what is that place? The park? And there was a hot tub. And I'm like, who is getting in that hot tub? Like, that's just terrifying to me. Yeah, I don't think that I'd enjoy, like, laying on a random bed in the middle of a club.
Yeah, it just wasn't my thing. But I thought it was funny that's one of the only club experiences I've had in New York City
on this.
Yeah.
So the beds are booked, but Samantha is on the VIP list.
Mm-hmm.
Miranda goes off to find a bathroom. and shows her stuff as she's walking along.
Yeah, she's really sassy. Yeah. Another thing Amazon said to me was that, a continuity note, Carrie's hair is much longer in this episode. But
yeah,
I'm just assuming.
That's so dumb.
Right. It happens all the time. And I'm just assuming that she has a lot of clip-ins at home.
I saw that listed as a goof.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. Have we never seen this show before? Carrie's hair changed from scene to scene.
What?
Yeah, yeah, that's not that exciting, really. So on the way to the bathroom, Miranda falls into bed with a guy.
Peter.
He's played by Brent Crawford, but he's just really cute.
He is, and he's sweet.
Yeah, and he invites her to stay.
Yeah.
And we sort of skip from that to the three ladies in a bed upstairs.
Now, here's something interesting about men with Miranda. And I know it probably goes hand in hand with her storyline. Cynthia Nixon is gorgeous, right? But I find it funny that whenever it's a man with Miranda, it's never just a casual flirting. It's always like, you are so hot. You are the hottest. And I don't know if it's trying to balance out the fact that she always has, like, confidence issues.
Right.
Because the guys with Carrie are just gently flirting with her. You know, same with Charlotte at first. They're, like, trying to buy. But with Miranda, it's always like, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
I think it's also a bit of a reaction to Miranda's sort of stance, because she comes across as sort of insecure in that arena, right. I think. So I think that it's oftentimes, I think sometimes when someone meets someone and you're like, you don't seem like you know that you're beautiful, I'm going to overemphasize.
Well, no one ever does that with me.
I know, me neither. Elise, you are so beautiful.
Mike, you look great.
Thank you.
Is that a new t-shirt?
Newish. Thanks for noticing. Mm-hmm. So we get to three ladies in bed upstairs. I don't know how to approach this very small issue, but we're just back to Samantha being like, I need to find someone new to fuck. Like,
that's not new.
I know, but it's just like, so we're here again. We're
because she doesn't want to deal with her demons. She just wants to F them.
Yeah, I guess so. So Burger's friend is in the next bed.
Billy.
Yeah. Charlotte tells her to go say hi. Act like it's not a big deal and go say hi to Billy. Michael Showalter is this actor. I mostly know him from Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah. He's mostly now a writer, director, producer.
Yeah.
He most recently directed The Big Sick.
Yes. It's a great movie. Holly Hunter is amazing in it. I mean, it's a really good movie in general. But yeah, he wrote original Wet Hot American Summer, mm-hmm. and then was the creator of the subsequent series, which is a great series. So funny. And he clearly doesn't know that they've broken up.
Right. He introduces Carrie as Burger's girlfriend.
Yeah.
We broke up this morning.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. I knew you guys had all kinds of problems.
Yeah. And he was bad in bed. Well, you look great, Billy.
Hi.
She takes off.
And she tells the girls that she took the lowest possible road.
It's pretty good.
She told them Burger was bad in bed, which isn't true.
And then Samantha, of course,
gives the look.
Two times. Don't you forget anything.
And I thought the same. Like, Carrie, we had a whole storyline about Burger
it
not being
good. It was one episode. Do you not forget anything? That was me to you.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, out of all things, I just feel like that line could have been worded, I told him Burger was bad in bed, which isn't true. I mean, it kind of was, but we got over that. You know,
right.
That would have been a more accurate description of what happened.
But not as funny.
Go back over there and explain. Just tell them you're hurt and that you didn't mean it. Oh, great. Now I have to admit that I'm hurt.
It's pretty good. Samantha gives her some Nerve Clicquot. Isn't she
which
funny?
Is weird because it's Veuve Clicquot. So it'd be like Nerve Clicquot.
And she goes back and, you know, he was great, fireworks, and she's hurt.
Yeah.
Breakups are tough.
Yes. Under normal circumstances, they are tough. And in this case, tougher. Look, I don't want to drag you into this, but Burger broke up with me on a Post-it.
I also just wrote that Carrie just keeps talking.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to understand why someone would do that.
Well, maybe he was afraid.
Interesting. How so?
And I don't know. Yeah, Billy says there's no right way to break up.
Okay, I have a problem with this.
Okay.
There is a right way to break up, Billy. And I implore you to listen to Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicale, Song and Dance, starring Miss Bernadette Peters. And listen to the song, Tell Me on a Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And she has a whole song about a great way to break up with someone. You could take her to a park that is covered with trees.
Yeah, that's the best one. And then we have to stretch and get to, like,
take me to a zoo that got
chimpanzees.
Don't leave in silence with no words at all,
which is,
Burger.
Yeah.
You all say that, but then you just freak and get all psycho, bitch.
So now it's our fault.
All we're saying is there really is no good way to break up with someone, is there?
Well,
It's funny you should mention that, Billy, because actually, there is.
Like, but also, why do I have right just so you know, Alan?
I think you could all get over your fear of looking like the bad guy and actually have the uncomfortable breakup conversation, because here's what. Avoiding that is what makes you the bad guy. And just so you know, Alan.
Andrew.
Uh-huh. This scene is funny.
There is a good way to break up with someone, and it doesn't include a post-it.
Yeah. I just love when Carrie goes back to the girls.
Much better.
You think we have to get out of here immediately?
Yeah, it's a pretty great moment. This scene is great. And for everyone that says that Sarah Jessica Parker's over the top, I guess I just don't care because I think it's funny.
Yeah,
Miranda's having a great time. First of all, he thinks it's impossible that she doesn't have a boyfriend, which is the thing that always kind of gets me when someone's like, how are you not dating someone? It's a weird thing to say to someone, especially as a guy talking to the girl. I don't know. It is what it is, and I guess this is just,
I think it's just a way for them to hit on
her. Sure. And then, yeah, Carrie comes and takes her away and never go to bed angry.
Yeah, and he says, it was really great meeting you. And she says,
it was good to meet you. I'll see ya. And thanks.
And in this moment, I thought, because he said, how do you not have a boyfriend? And they had this exchange and she's leaving and saying thanks. I thought she is going to have the courage to tell Steve. I know it. This whole time I'm thinking, do not waste time with this dude, Miranda. Steve! That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was going to tell the girls, I got to go.
I got to go. I got to tell Steve how
then,
I feel.
Yeah, and then run to Steve and say, how are you not my boyfriend?
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't get that at all. I was more sad that, like, they didn't exchange numbers.
No, I don't want her to exchange numbers with him. It's Steve. Steve for president. So then I also noticed that Samantha is in a pantsuit. I didn't realize that that number was a pantsuit.
Okay, so I'm angry. So those guys will tell Burger that I'm angry. I can live with that.
And then also smells pot.
Let's get high.
I get high. Of course, Samantha's in.
When was the last time you smoked pot?
I think I was wearing these jeans.
Well, first of all, they actually smoked pot just 2 years ago.
Right, I know that, yeah. Because they make the comment that they haven't smoked pot since 1985.
Yeah, it hasn't been
pot
that
child
long.
In the city ends with the girls smoking pot.
Except for Charlotte. Yeah. Charlotte can claim that she has not smoked pot in a while. The other three just smoked pot very recently.
Right.
Yeah, Samantha's dealer is on the Cape.
Oh, damn those dealers in their summer houses.
I'll ask those guys.
Is it safe to buy pot from strangers?
They're not strangers. They're new friends with pot.
And they asked the gentleman whose pot they smelled. They said that if they go around to Drowned the Hound, that there's a guy there that deals.
Yeah, Drowned the Hound. I mean, could you see that that was not really what Cynthia Nixon was saying?
Yeah, didn't know what was happening.
It's an overdub. This was really... they film at a bar called Down the Hatch, which if you look at Cynthia Nixon's lips, that's what she's actually saying here. And they have overdubbed it to Drown the Hound. I'm guessing the reason for that is that I think that once Down the Hatch caught wind that they were referring to it as a bar that you can easily buy pot, they requested that they change the name. But this is Down the Hatch. That's where they film. It's on West 4th. You can look up images, and that's clearly the bar that they're in. Yeah, I've been there as well. So yeah, I think there was some legal thing went before they... episode came out. So we're at the bar and Miranda spots their new friends.
Well, they think this place should be, if that place was called Bed, this place should be called Smell.
Yeah. They're in general not very nice to this bar, which is probably another reason why they were asked to change the
name. But I like that in the, because you probably found this out through the commentary, right? That it was Down the Hatch?
I knew it. I mean, I wish that I knew this for sure. If this was a thing when the episode debuted, but I remember there being a little bit of a hubbub about this.
Hubbub.
Yeah, that they had to change the name.
Because I thought it would be interesting if they talked about that in the commentary.
No commentary on this one. So we have some bridesmaids celebrating.
Bachelorette party, and penis straws.
Something about doing Jello shots at a bar.
Yeah, I thought about that, but then I thought maybe they do. I'm sure some bars do.
I'm sure that some bars do. And then Charlotte just sort of mentions that she wishes she hadn't been married before.
So she can do all this stuff again.
Yeah, and Carrie tells her she can do whatever she wants.
Right.
Which is true. You know, I mean, I understand where Charlotte is coming from. And I think because Charlotte is so traditional in so many ways, that probably is part of why she feels this way.
And she's polite. Charlotte is very polite. She wouldn't want to make people do these things again.
And this bridal group asks her to take a picture
with
her
disposable camera, which we do not see anymore.
There's one sitting right over there.
I have one too that I need to develop. Yeah. I don't know what the pictures will look like now, but we'll see.
You know, Carrie tells, you know, the girls that, hey, she got engaged last night. And one of my favorite lines that I and some friends of mine quote is just,
you have to be in the picture.
I enjoy that line.
Yeah, there's nothing more than when people think I need to be in the picture. There's nothing worse, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I want to be way in the back. So there's not pot, but the guys start sort of fighting over Miranda. Miranda's having a great esteem episode.
Yeah.
I can buy you a drink. I said I was buying her a drink, dude. You have a girlfriend.
Gentlemen, please.
And we cut to TRL, and I just wrote a drunk guy from New Jersey is leering at Samantha in the background.
Like that would happen to her a lot.
Yeah.
You're hot enough to be on TV.
Take that to the dartboard.
And two, do you have a girlfriend?
I am dating, but I'm not seeing anyone special.
Yeah.
He uses her line.
And I just wrote, oh, Samantha, go to therapy. Not the bar, but maybe the bar. But also, he's doing a good job. He's doing exactly what she told him to. And now that's wrong.
And the funny thing is, in the instance where she, like, you see her react to it, my thought was, oh, she's going to talk to Smith and be like, you know what? You can call me your girlfriend.
No, she's going to
Make out with a random guy in a bar.
And piss off Orfe.
Yes, Orfe.
What happened?
So good. Yeah, so the guy has a girlfriend. And I put, this is pretty good casting and or hair and makeup. Because those girls look very specific.
Yeah, it's very good hair and makeup, I think. Yeah.
And Anna, yeah, Anna is played by Orfe.
I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
It's pretty good. For those who don't know, Orfe is a Broadway actress as well.
Is she still in Pretty Women?
I believe so, because it's closing soon.
She's in Pretty Women. She's married to Andy Carl,
who is the lead and the lead man.
I don't think he is right now. I don't think he's anymore.
Yeah. I mean, they opened it together.
Yes. She probably most famously is known for originating Paulette in Legally Blonde, the musical. Yeah.
She's great, though, just in general. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love Carrie and Samantha just scream and get out of there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing neither of them would be great in a fight.
No.
Probably
and we see
not.
That Samantha's top also doubles as her thong.
Yeah, and she somehow scored a joint for $20.
Yeah.
I don't really get this, but okay.
Well, because she says, I'm sure in a place like this, $20 can cover 3 drinks and a channel change.
Who's not having a drink? I mean, it's either Miranda or Charlotte, but I think it's funny that she specifically...
Well, maybe it's Samantha. Maybe she doesn't...
No, because she's at the bar with her Budweiser.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
Miranda, is she still nursing? I don't know.
She was having a martini in bed, though.
Oh.
Not that big of a deal. It just did strike me. But apparently it gets you 3 beers, a channel chains, and a joint.
Yeah.
That's not expensive. So they light up right there on the corner and bitch about men.
Men are bullshit!
That's what I'm talking about.
Being someone's girlfriend? Mm-mm. No good can come of it. That's what I'm saying.
Samantha's fanny pack goes off.
Yep.
Yeah, she gets a phone call from Smith, and basically he was perfect, but she has to go to find better reception. And Carrie suddenly has a hood.
Yeah.
It's a very multifunctioning outfit that she's wearing. It can do anything. So yeah, she pulls up her hood and up roll the cops. And then all the ladies are there, and Charlotte still has the little veil on, which I think is kind of funny.
She
stole the veil from the bride-to-be, who's probably in the bathroom puking up yellow shots right now anyway.
We have to take it downtown.
Officer, please. I am a lawyer and a mother. This woman is my friend. She is an extremely law-abiding citizen.
Who just broke the law.
And the cop's just explaining why he has to take her downtown. I do like that if you watch this, Samantha is like talking to Carrie in the car, kind of like, I don't know what to do, like, you know.
Yeah, and then
kind of
she
helplessly.
Tells him about the post-it, and he doesn't believe her, and then she tolls him. She shows him the post-it.
Yeah, Miranda's trying to help. The cop doesn't believe about the post-it. Yeah, Carrie shows him, and I guess it's nice that he changes the charge to just smoking in a bar.
Yeah, but I was going to be pissed if she didn't get off with something, because there are so many people that are, I mean, I'm, you know, taking it very seriously, but there are so many people that are wrongfully or are in jail forever for marijuana use, and Carrie Bradshaw is just going to get off the hook.
Yeah, that's for sure some white privilege there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm all for legalizing marijuana. all for it. But I think
and
that
anyone in jail for something having to do with marijuana should be released yesterday.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
It makes no sense.
Yes, that was what I was going to say. So
now
Carrie
we've gotten
Brett,
real serious on Law and Order, but
well, we're not being. It's not even serious. It's just this is actually one of the more factual representations on Sex and the City. I bet you Carrie Bradshaw would have been able to get off
probably
right away, and that needs to change.
So we cut to an ice cream sundae, and now I would like a sundae. That's what I wrote.
Well, it's a banana split.
Okay, yeah.
I'd like that, too.
It's midnight, the official end to what will now be known as the day I got arrested for smoking a doobie.
And she's like, I said doobie.
I mean, it's dumb, but it's funny.
Yeah.
And Miranda is starting to believe in that everything happens for a reason. And yeah. I like the moment where she gets to, like, having the baby.
Oh, I'm not finished and had no time to eat. So I never would have fit into my skinny jeans and realized this city is full of cute men.
Now that's my kind of thinking.
And we also realize that Carrie's Everything Happens for the Reason is that her Post-it was her get-out-of-jail-free
card.
There
you go.
And then Charlotte says, I've changed my mind. I want you all to be my bridesmaids, but you don't have to wear the matching dresses.
Yes, they can wear whatever they want. I do also like the moment where Carrie thinks that she knows what she learned from Burger.
Wait a minute, I just had it.
Yeah, and then Miranda's jeans pop. And we just sort of end with a banana split line.
Mm-hmm. I might never find the lesson in why Burger and I split. But at least for the moment, there was a banana split.
Not your finest work.
Yeah, no, not really.
It's okay.
I couldn't help but wonder how Samantha went to the bathroom in that outfit. I feel like it's a piece of fabric with two very long strings that she has to wrap all throughout her legs and like undercarriage, and it just seems like a lot of work.
I couldn't help but wonder how long the bed craze lasts for, and if they still exist, and how they wash those sheets.
Well, the bed craze, I think they only lasted to like 2010 or 11. Yeah, and I'm sure they did. I'm sure they were all made from material. I mean, it's no different than those restaurants or those bars or clubs that have couches.
I guess, but it's people getting like real drunk and doing things on beds, I feel
like. I think they probably had security.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, thank you.
And there you go. You know, we're more than over halfway done with this season.
Are you talking about this season?
Yes.
Or this chunk of this season?
This chunk of what I call this season.
Oh, wow. So this actual season is VV long.
Yes. In general, if you were to count these two seasons that I call two seasons as one season, it would be the longest.
Okay.
Which is why we're kind of breaking it up also, because it's harder to cover like the huge seasons.
Which is why we are breaking up also.
Yeah, this is why we're also breaking up. You're breaking up. No, I'm not. I was trying to do Carrie there.
All right. Bye.
Bye. You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWpodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for The Catch. So Marantha pulls out her skinny jeans.
Who
did I say?
You said my new favorite thing, Marantha. The combination of Miranda and Samantha.
That's an interesting combo.
Marantha.
Burger.
Don't get drunk and slam the door. That's no way to end this. I know how I want you to say goodbye.
Are you like vying for your one woman like revival of
song and dance?
Yeah.
Take that look off your face.
You know what? If I could go back and see a thing live in theater, I feel like it would be Bernadette Peters doing this
song
production.
And dance.
Yeah. Because the recording is really great, but it's just kind of like hasn't aged all that well. I don't know. It's a
but
great show.
We.
I've aged just fine. How dare you? So it's a sneed, basically. Is that what it's called? You need a sneed.
What are you talking about?
It's a Dr. Seuss book.
I think it's right, but I don't think that's what Dr. Seuss is referring to.
A sneed. It can do anything.
This is what a snood is.
Right.
So a snood is an actual thing. A
right.
Sneed is a fictional character, so I just thought you were an idiot.
A sneed is not a fictional character.
Everybody
needs
a sneed.
That's what it is. A thneed.
A thneed.
That's what I had wrong. I'm going to cut all of that out.
Athneed.
You need athneed.
I can understand how that could be misconstrued.
Anyway.